Hey, welcome to The Breeze. We appreciate your time today and encourage you to head on over to thebreezechurch.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links for all that's happening around The Breeze. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
My name is Blake. I'm the lead pastor here at The Breeze, and it's always a privilege to have you join us, if you're joining us online or here in the house. I want to start by asking a question. How many of us know someone who misplaces things quite often? I love it. Everybody's like laughing. And then you see all the heads kind of turn, and they're like, yeah, that's you. Like, don't trust you with anything valuable, right? Well, this is a picture that kind of highlights what happens frequently in our house. My sons, they're required to have a water bottle for school. You know, they don't drink out of the hoses out here anymore, right? Like, no water fountain. It's like, you need a water bottle. And so we have this conversation quite frequently of, hey, I can't find my water bottle. Like, they're looking everywhere through the house. And mom and I, we kind of sit back and we look at things and we're like, it's on the counter. You know, like, it's right there, right in front of you, and they can't find it. I mean, they're running up to their rooms. They're running to the garage. They're looking in the cars. They're, like, running four houses down, like, thinking the neighbor would have it or something. They're like, Dad, Mom, I can't find my water bottle. And you know what parents do, because we're great parents, we just kind of let them look, you know? When it's sitting right there, you just let them look. You keep doing your things, right? Or, you know, you have some of those tougher days, some of those hard points or moments in life, and you're like, you seriously, you can't find that water bottle. It's right in front of you. Like, use your eyes. I raised you, and you better be smart to find the thing that's right before your eyes. You know, parents, you know, you have those moments, right? Like, you're like, oh boy, right? You know, kind of illustrates how life is for some people. Many of us, we've experienced the hope, the grace, the radical love of Jesus. It's right there. We see it, we get it, we experience it. But then there's those of us around us in our workplaces, in our families, our friends, who they're looking for the things that matter, and they're looking for that hope and that joy and that peace. To us, it's right in front of them, and yet they can't see it. They're looking everywhere. They're trying to fill life's voids, and they're trying to get more education. They're maybe addicted to substances. They're filling the questions and the peace and the hope that's longing in their life, and they're chasing it with relationships or career promotions, and they're looking everywhere. And we're sitting back, and we're sitting there, and we almost laugh at them, and we almost ridicule them, and we're like, the answer you're looking for is right there. It's right in front of you. How can you not see it? And a lot of times we see this scenario play out. My church, I want us to understand that we are here to point people to the answer whose name is Jesus Christ. The person that's given us the hope, the joy, the fulfillment of life, and his name is Jesus. And our responsibility is to help people discover him, even though to us it might be so simple at where he can be found. I always tell people, this is what our church is built on. This is our vision. Our vision of our church is this. We exist to help people know Jesus, find purpose, grow with others, and make a difference. But it's vital for us to understand, for people to know Jesus, for people to make a difference, for people to find others, we have Culture Course, and to grow with others. And in order for people to do that, they need help searching what might seem so obvious. That's where we come in. That's where it's vital. What's so simple to some might not be so simple to others. People don't have that experience we have. They don't have that understanding. We're coming to Easter season, and Easter season's an exciting time because you can invite people who only come to church on Christmas and Easter, and you're like, hey, it's your two times a year you come. There's Easter egg hunts. There's inflatables for the kids. There's special elements and service. It's going to be a great time. And so we make it easy for people to come and experience Jesus. But you know, every day in your life, there are people that are searching for some hope, searching for purpose in life. And God wants you and desires you to point them there. And it's important for us to, the next 2 weeks, talk about this big idea. For something to be found, it requires someone to look. For someone to be found, it requires for someone to look. You know, my kids, I put up there, you know, the water bottle illustration, but some of us, like, you know, people, they're trying to find peace in their lives. They're trying to find joy in life, and they're looking all around, and they need you, the church, to help them find Jesus, find purpose, grow with others, and make a difference. So today, when we talk about this, when we see that we are people that are there to help people find Jesus, and it requires us to look, there's some things that I want to just highlight, 2 points. One, the reason is, well, why? Like, why is there this emphasis on helping others find Jesus? Well, one, Jesus commands it. In Matthew chapter 28 in verses 19 and 20, we see this understanding that one of Jesus' final remarks with his disciples, he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and then teach them in the ways and the commands that I have taught you." So not only are we commanded that a follower of Jesus is a disciple that makes disciples. In fact, I would encourage you and to assess your scenario to be like, am I someone that does that? So not only is there a command, but there's also this rejoice. It's a party when Scripture talks about that. When there's the 99 that are found and the one is lost, we see that this party takes place in heaven. In fact, heaven cries out and declares that the angels go like, hey, let's throw the party, let's celebrate that someone repented and then was found. We see that there's 3 different parables in Luke 15. And it's phenomenal how it all plays out. So not only are we commanded to go, but we're also helping people throw a party. So the question we've got to ask ourselves, because we're coming to Easter, it's a great opportunity for you to know some people and to invite them to church, to share Jesus with them throughout your work week, wherever you are, wherever that interaction is. The question we've got to ask ourselves, if we're commanded to do it and there's a party that gets thrown in heaven, why are we not better at helping people find Jesus? Like, why is it difficult to help people know Jesus? To introduce them to Jesus. You know, one of the famous quotes that gets used by pastors actually comes from this man by the name of Penn Jillette. He was an atheist magician. He says this, "How much do you have to hate somebody to believe in everlasting life is possible and not tell them that?" Like, you think about it, if I were to ask you in your life right now, many of us were followers of Jesus. We declare him as Lord, leader, and Savior in our life. If you're watching online and you agree and you're like, I'm all about Jesus. But if we ask ourselves hard truths, this past week, this past year, have you said, hey, let me introduce you to somebody by the name of Jesus who brings everlasting life for us, that he has his purpose in our life? I think the results would be a little bit of an alarm bell for us. See, here's probably one of the biggest reasons I feel that many of us have a struggle. We're going to be talking about that today because I want to encourage you this next couple weeks to take a special emphasis on how to share Jesus. And here's one of the issues that why we do. We get stuck on the inside and we forget about those waiting to be found on the outside. Like, we become part of the inside club. Have you ever been in one of those moments or one of those scenarios? Maybe you like grew up in a place and you've there. I was in my hometown for 24 years of my life. I knew all the ins and outs. And I remember the new kids coming to school and be like, yeah, that's a new kid. Like, oh man, they're from where? And it was almost like they're the outsider, we're the insiders. You know that happens in church culture, happens in church life. Like we know church happens. Like, we know the band's gonna get up here, band's gonna be rocking, and it's gonna get a little loud, and some of us are gonna be like, I need earplugs, and the preacher's gonna preach, and hopefully the preacher doesn't go too long because I gotta get places, but I know I gotta check the box of doing the good Christian thing and show up to church on Sundays. And we start looking at everything from an inside perspective. What's in it for me? And so we become this like almost inside Christian club. In fact, if you ever attend our culture course, we are the only institution, the only body, the only group, the only gathering, whatever you want to deem it, a group of people that our membership exists to reach those who are not members. But so many times we forget that and we think, what's in it for me, right? How do I relay? How do I? And so what happens is we have a lot of people on the outside that need to be brought into the inside, but our insiders like to keep it on the inside. So it gets a little challenging. So today I want to talk to you. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2 and 3, where over a sequential amount of days, lives were changed, that the church radically bloomed, church radically impacted a community. The church made a difference because what happened in the church didn't just stay in the church, but impacted the community around the church. And it's important for us to get that. It's important for us to know that. So today I want to talk to you. You're taking notes. I know you are, because your note-taking group of people is this. Begin. So moving from being stuck inside to reaching people on the outside begins with this. You have to seek the strength of the Spirit. Seek the strength of the Spirit. You know, before Jesus was ever commissioned into his ministry, he was filled with the Spirit. We see this in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, and Acts chapter 4, 1. Or Luke 4, 1. And we see there's this understanding that the Spirit is pivotal into our ability to share Jesus. Like, we need God's Holy Spirit for this boldness in our life. We see before the church is moved and motivated to go beyond itself, they wait on the Spirit. Acts chapter 1:8. We see that the Dr. Luke, he put it this way, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Samaria, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This word power is this explosive, dynamic, dynamite type of power. That for us to really be individuals that can take and share the gospel, you need the Spirit to be present in your life. You need the Spirit to push you throughout life. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other language as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. I want to be crystal clear. The primary purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring you a personal boldness in the power of God's Spirit into a Christian's life so that they can accomplish Christ's purpose for their life. My friends, we need to be pursuing the fulfillment and refillment of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says when you meet Jesus, you're gifted with the Holy Spirit. I think it's important to evaluate, that's why I say this all the time. We're a full gospel church. We believe that what the Holy Spirit did, the Holy Spirit still can do. And I think a lot of times we want Jesus, but we forget that the strength is also equated with the Spirit. That for you to have a bold conversation, you need the Holy Spirit. For you to get past some mixed emotions, you need the Holy Spirit to have that personal boldness. That's why I say this, when we come together, you look at Acts, and in the verses we just read, they said they all gathered together, the believers, the church at this time, 120 followers, in a sequence of days, 5,000. So they all gathered together. I plead with you, some of us who are just kind of, maybe you decided to come to church today. Making church a habit in your life gives you an opportunity to be strengthened in the Spirit. There's something that happens, there's something that occurs when you gather with the body of Christ where Jesus is in the room, the Spirit is in the room, and you are emboldened to do and live what God's called you to do and live. And it said everyone was filled with the Spirit. When we have opportunity to be filled with the Spirit, we pray, like, Lord, come to my life. I need your Spirit every day. That's a great prayer to pray. Every day, God, I need your Spirit to embolden me, to power me, to do what I cannot do on my own, but to do and live for you. That's why we have praise and worship time. We have praise and worship time, not because we just like music or we just hang out or we sit there. And some of us might stand there and we just put our hands in our pockets and we close them. No, but we do it to give an exaltation to God, to say, God, I need your Spirit. God, I need you in my life. And so many times we want to skip the step of the Spirit when really we need the Spirit all over our lives, through our lives, in our lives, so that we can do what God's called us to do. See, we don't come to church for information. We come for our spirit to be refilled with the body of believers. It's a habit. See, we struggle. I would put it this way. We don't struggle to share Jesus. We don't struggle with confidence. We struggle with being filled with the Spirit, the lack of the Spirit present in your life. A lot of people want to just leave it here. See, the gatherers, they're in the upper room. They have a 120-man church is happening. But I want to be very clear. The church didn't stay in the church. The church worked outside the walls of the church. The church wasn't like, let's meet on Sunday 9 and 11 and have good service. The church was in action. So moving from being stuck inside to reaching people on the outside, seek the strength of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, step forward to present opportunities. The gathering from the upper room of 120 believers who waited over 50 days for God's Spirit to show up. God's Spirit shows up, impact is made. You know, one of the many qualities I love about this church is that there was a present opportunity that many people jumped on. You'll see this picture of a group of individuals. There's about 30 of them that gathered. This was our Rock the Block, our first annual Rock the Block at Suncoast Community Center, where we partnered with the community center. I mean, they're grilling there, doing haircuts for hours. They were just serving and loving in the community, sharing Jesus, had a prayer tent, saying, hey, here's a present opportunity. We want to just love you in our community. 30-some difference makers. If you're new to us or checking out The Breeze, a difference maker is someone that is actively engaged into the life body of the church, a volunteer. So I want you to do me a big favor. Hey, let's give it up for those difference makers in the room. Come on. And my friends, like I can't stress it enough, one of the reasons that we give and live a life of generosity and to be people that financially back the ministry to help people know Jesus, find purpose, grow with others, and make a difference is for events and items like this so we can proclaim Jesus. We have numerous ways that you can be a part of that, that you can give. It can be online, in purpose, or in person, numerous ways. I would say there's present opportunity to make an impact. Maybe you can't show up, but maybe you can contribute. And so I think a lot of times we wait for the right opportunity that fits my liking when God's just saying, hey, step into the present opportunity that I'm presenting to you. In Acts chapter 2:14, so we see that the church, man, it's exploding, that the Holy Spirit has come upon the church. And that we see that the crowd, the city, and if you read, and I'm summarizing the text through Acts chapter 2 and verse 3, that the city of Jerusalem and the Jewish people, they start saying, what's happening to these guys? Like they're accusing them of being drunk. And Peter's like, hold. It's 9 a.m. But I love this little detail in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. It says, then Peter stepped forward. Everybody say, stepped forward. With the 11 other apostles, and he shouted to the crowd, these men aren't drunk. So I want to encourage some of you today. Sometimes when you're the first one to step forward, others follow. Present opportunity. Don't let today's hesitation be tomorrow's regret. Like God's given us opportunities to brush shoulders with people we work with, people we know, people to, hey, let me just share about Jesus, the Jesus, my Lord, leader, and Savior in my life, and let me just give you an opportunity to maybe experience him. Step forward at the present opportunity, not at the right opportunity. And this is what I found. When you follow Jesus after a long time, your opportunities look a lot different than his opportunities. You might be like having this image of like, I'm gonna share Jesus on a Friday at 9 o'clock at a coffee shop, and it might be a single guy in here, and she's gonna be a really cute lady, and she's gonna then buy my coffee, and I'll just share Jesus, we'll live happily ever after. And you're just like, dude, you passed 10 people walking in the door that just need a firm handshake or just a smile and a wave to say, hey, I love you because Jesus loved me. We see as the church grows. So we see Peter, he gets done preaching in Acts chapter 2. He's like, these guys aren't drunk. It's God working. It's the Holy Spirit falling on the church. And then we see the church go from 120 to 3,000 people. So that's pretty awesome, right? A couple days, 3,000 people. Can you imagine that here? Like, hey, man 3,000 people showed up because, man, we just got done. We met the Spirit. The strength of the Spirit showed up. And then, boom, next day, 3,000 people. So Peter gets done preaching. 3,000 people are there. The following day, he decides to go to the temple and pray. And this is important for us to capture. He's on his way to do a ritual and a religious practice. He's on his way to the prayer meeting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then there's a lame man that sits at the gate beautiful. And the lame man is sitting at the gate beautiful. He's a beggar. He's crippled at the ankles. And people know him. He's been there forever. The courts had to be where it was kind of like the hub, the city hub. And so people were always interacting. So people recognized him. He was almost like the default mayor kind of guy. Like people were like, hey, there's the beggar. There's the beggar. They recognized him everywhere in the city because everybody had to pass through the temple to do their acts of worship. So Peter and John are walking by and they see this man. They're going to the prayer meeting. And the man's begging, hey, can I get some money? And this is what Peter responds. He goes, but Peter said, I don't have silver or gold, but I'll give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Get up and walk. And guess what happens? The man gets up, he walks. I've always thought this, anytime I read scripture, would I have kept walking to the church service and said, yeah, beggar, you figure it out yourself? Like, would I have skipped that guy versus engaging with that guy? And I think so many times when we're following Jesus, we get caught up in the religious practice. We get caught up in doing what fits the insider's mold and lifestyle that God's saying, I got people all around you that just need attention, that just need a conversation, that just need the name Jesus declared over their life. Opportunity, present, Peter and John teach us. When you see, jump. When you see, lead. I know I was sharing Jesus. I was staying at one of my son's games, and I share this quite a bit. Like, a lot of times I'll like to just stand off by myself. People will come up in random conversations. I don't even know how this one particular time I'm having this conversation. And this guy, like, he was looking for a friend. Like, he couldn't find one on Craigslist, and so he, like, comes to the ballpark, and, like, he's just talking and talking and talking. And finally, like I was almost closed off, but it's kind of almost just this sense of like, why is this guy talking to me, choosing to talk to me? Like, why is this here? Finally, I had a point right there in the middle of the ballpark. Hey, man, let me just introduce you to Jesus. Let me just talk to you about Jesus. I feel like depressed. This is weird. I'm a pastor. We're in the middle of a ball field. Right now, I just want to pray over you. It's inopportune times. It's opportunities where you plan to check out. God said, I'm going to bring somebody to you. You plan to kind of just say, you know what? And so it's always developing this lens, this focus, like, God, I'll share you anywhere with anyone, anytime. Give me an opportunity. And you pray and you start living that life and you're saying, oh, present opportunity here, present opportunity. I got my friend at work. I got my family over here. And you have all these present opportunities around you. Not the right opportunities, just a present opportunity. God, just give me availability to do and to serve you. Lead. Lead me. See, so it always comes back to this question, man, like, would we operate like Peter and John, or would we just rush back then, trying to do our insider thing? But then the opportunity grew. All the people saw him and walking around, and they heard him praising the God, this beggar. And when they realized he was a lame beggar, they had been so that was been so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. He's so amazed about the redeeming work, the power, the miracle that just took place. And then we see the 3,000, and the numbers are growing. And then we see in Acts chapter 3, verse 12, Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd again. that Peter had this intention in his life to see what was around him. Like, you might be in business right now, and you might be swinging a deal and doing some things. Is there an opportunity to share your faith of where God has brought you? Is there an opportunity of people around that you could say, hey, let me just share about the redeeming works? See, when I say present opportunity, my friends, it's not the right opportunity. It's the opportunity that God gives us. Peter saw his opportunity and he said, I'm going to step into it. He stepped forward, Holy Spirit in his life. If you look at the Gospels, Peter didn't operate until the Spirit was upon him. Peter didn't operate to his potential until he had the strength of the Spirit. And then he starts seeing these present opportunities. On your way in, you should have received a little tag, a card that looks something like this, and maybe you didn't grab one or you're rushing by. We have some out in the lobby, but these next 2 weeks, we're specifically praying over people. People that were praying to be found by Jesus, to come home to Jesus. We're praying, we're writing their names down. For the remainder of the message today, I want you to be thinking, God, right now, who can I share in a present moment when the opportunity occurs? Who can I share Jesus with? And then what we're doing for the next 2 weeks in our midweek prayer service, we'll have a little board out there. We're going to ask you just to safety pin it, and we're going to pray over those people. I'm asking you just first name only. You don't have to put their address down, phone number, email, anything like that. That'd be a little, you know, crazy out there. But we want to pray in faith and have a belief that these people are going to be found. My friends, there's present opportunities all around, and it starts when we're praying about those present opportunities. So stop waiting for the right opportunity. Be present for all the opportunities that are before you. Number three, so moving from being stuck inside to reaching people on the outside. We seek the strength of the Holy Spirit because it can be uncomfortable to stretch ourselves. Then we step forward at present opportunities. And then thirdly, we share the right details, not all the details. You know anybody that's ever shared all the details and you're like, dude, I just want the story. Like, I don't need the color of everything. I don't need all the, like, what time you're waking up. Just give me the meat and we'll spit out the bones, right? Like, you know anybody that's, like, over-detailed and, like, waiting there, like, I just fell asleep and you still haven't told me what you're trying to tell me, right? Like, I think we all know somebody. It's important that we understand that there's a lot of things that are great in the Word of God. A lot of principles we apply. It's infallible. We turn to it. But when it comes to sharing your faith, there's some things we have to be locked in. And Peter sums it this way. He says, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord in Acts chapter 20 will be saved. He says, hey, call on Jesus. You're going to be saved. Wait, that's simple? Huh? No way. That's crazy. Like, I thought, Pastor, I heard somewhere in like the Old Testament, there's like 600 some laws. Like, I don't got to do like 20 of them, like 13 of them. Maybe 100 of them, call in the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Peter's message made such an impact, and he focused and he highlighted it this way. He says, Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Shameless plug, baptism's coming up, end of April. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is a promise to you, to your children, and those far away, all who have been called by the Lord, our God. You're saying, so I repent. That means this life that I'm living, I take a 180, and I come back to God. I say, God, like, I have sins. Like, one thing, we are imperfect people all in progress here. You'll never find someone perfect in this place. You'll never find someone that's like, has it all together. Your pastor, like, just, I don't have it all together. I'm far from it. But you know what I'm grateful for is when Peter is speaking, he's like, here's the fact, here's what's piercing the hearts, that you repent of your sins and you turn to God and you accept him and as your Lord, leader, and Savior. Scripture says, you are saved. You know, insiders, we get caught up in the religiosity of life and we wrestle over these big questions that loom. Many people pride themselves on how much education they have from God's word. And I'm not saying not to study God's word. Please do not misunderstand me. I believe in it. I'm a proponent of it. But when it comes to leading people to the Lord, I'm pretty sure your neighbor doesn't care if the argument for Jonah is a whale or a fish. They're probably sitting there like, man, I got some things messed up in life. My marriage is in shambles. My relationships fall apart. I don't understand financial. I experience drastic loss. I've lost a loved one. I'm looking for some hope. And you're over here and you're like, it's right in front of you. They're like, well, help me get there. Point me to it. I need help. Point me. Give me some steps. Give me a direction. I'll never forget when Brittany and I sit there and the boys are looking for their water bottles. We're like, hey, good fellas, it's right here. Boom. Mom and Dad, we're right here for you. People need that kind of help from us. Know the details that is the separation between someone's eternity and everlasting life and something that's not. So maybe you're in here right now and you're like, man, I don't really know. I would say, read Acts chapter 2 and 3. Beautiful. It'll give you a boldness, come to life. You'll be like, that's what I need to know. You know, because on the other end, one of the main issues that people like, why they struggle is because they don't know all the details. Have you ever felt like that? Maybe I'm the only one, like, and I study God's word quite often, but like, people ask me big questions. You know, you see all these things on social media. I'm like, man, if that was asked to me on the street, I don't know how I would respond. And so what happens is like, we don't know all the details. And so like, I don't want to share any of the main details. I don't want to share the main thing. And we get scared and we become inside and we're like, okay, I can talk Jesus with them because they're cool with Jesus. I can share a little bit about God here because I know they're cool with God here. Here's what's been the simplest way for me to share Jesus. And I encourage you, adopt your own story. We all have different stories. In my history, I've been a knucklehead. I was a punk. I was arrogant. I grew up and running games and different things. Like I tried being deceitful all the time. I told people all the time. I was like, for me, not to make some of the decision I made, it wasn't the fear of the Lord was the beginning of all wisdom. We see this in Proverbs chapter 1. It was actually the fear of my father. Like, that's where, like, is that? Like, my dad kept me on the straight, and I ran. I was doing my own thing, trying my own stuff. But then one day at a Bible college and chapel service in Springfield, Missouri, a missionary gets up here from a pulpit. He starts speaking, and it was one of the most crazy, unreal, supernatural moments ever in my life. Right then, I remember breaking down. Guy was sleeping. I come to the altar, and I'm just crying. I'm like, God, I'm done. I'm done trying to do my own thing. I just want to serve you. So I tell people this all the time. I said, like, when you have a God moment, a real God moment, a Jesus moment in your life, share about that. You don't have to know and be able to recite all the Ten Commandments. You don't have to have all the New Testament memorized. God's saying, share about the difference he's made in your life. Share about the redeeming work he's made in your life. Maybe you're a single mother in here and you're trying to figure out life and life is hard right now. Maybe you just share, but I found peace in Jesus in the midst of turmoil. Maybe you're in here right now and your marriage is on the brink. Well, God, I don't know what's going on, but I'm here and maybe you can restore this marriage. I'm trusting you, God, work on my life. Maybe you're a young person and you're sitting and you're looking at everything across all, and you're like, culture and social, like hookup culture. How do I date? How do I do all these things? And you're like, maybe I've tried that and Jesus, just come to my life. I just want to trust you, just work in my life and make me a new person. Maybe you're in here and you have some baggage from the past, and maybe you're an addict, or maybe you had some trauma and abuse, and you're like, yeah, you had that, but Jesus is coming to your life, and he's helping you change and move through that. Change about the facts of your life. Speak Jesus into the facts of your life. That's why I say, when it comes to sharing Jesus from being an insider to an outsider, no. Share some of the details and all the details. It doesn't have to be perfect. It's got to be about the redeeming work of God in your life. So today, I just want to encourage you. Don't be individuals. These next 2 weeks, prime opportunity. Invite someone to church. Prime opportunity to share Jesus at a coffee shop. Prime opportunity just to talk with somebody and to declare what God's done in your life because you've had a past. Don't be stuck inside. We exist to reach those on the outside. We exist to share Jesus with those who are far from him. So speak the strength of the Spirit. Seek the strength of the Spirit. Step into present opportunities, not the right opportunities. Know the details that can transform someone's life. Don't get caught up in not knowing all the details. With that, I'm going to ask you, if you'll go ahead and stand with me. We're going to enter a time, a moment of prayer. And we're going to just sing us opportunity, or give us opportunity to sing and praise Jesus. To say, Lord, we just need your Spirit right now to strengthen us as we leave and exit this place. But I'm going to pray for two groups of people. First, those groups of people right now, if you need to experience Jesus, scripture like we just read in Acts chapter 2, repent of your sins and turn to Jesus. Believe in Jesus as the Lord, leader, and Savior over your life, that God raised him 3 days, that God raised him from the grave. And scripture says, you will be saved. Call on Jesus and he will make you new. It sounds simple because Jesus did the heavy lifting. So maybe you're in here, you make that decision. I'm asking, when we sing this song, you just pray that prayer. Lord, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. I declare you are the Lord over me now. Jesus, thank you for your work on the cross. Scripture says you're saved. And you just pray and you receive the Spirit in your life. And then I would encourage you to take a practical step. We'd love to connect with you. You have a tap or you have a connect card. Take a moment, fill that out, because we'd love to journey with you in this next several days and the days to follow. Secondly, I want to pray over the group of people in this place right now. You've been following Jesus, but when we asked earlier, who have you shared Jesus with? Maybe you're struggling with that. I want to pray specifically for a boldness to share Jesus in this church. I pray our church is that one, goes from 120, 5,000. God, may we be a church that plants churches. May we be a church that sends more missionaries. May we be a church that continues to trust you in all we do. God, but it starts with us owning the mission to be someone who shares Jesus and celebrates the change of Jesus in one's life. Let's pray together. God, right now, we say thank you. Thank you for giving us opportunity to worship you. Thank you for the everlasting life. Thank you for the new beginnings that you've given many of us watching in this place and online. God, I pray that you continue to work in our church, not just in these walls, but outside of these walls. Scripture says that you do not reside in a building, but you reside in your people, and we thank you for that. So right now, for those making a decision to follow you, to call you Lord and Savior, and to call you the Almighty, to call you their leader, we pray that you work right now in those lives. Help them pray that prayer. Lead them, Lord. May you give them a fire, an urgency, a boldness, Spirit come upon their lives. And God, right now, I pray for our church as a whole, that in these next couple weeks leading up to Easter, that you help us to have divine appointments, to be present in opportunities, to share your redeeming work with others who need you as we have needed you. So lead us today, every step of the way. And in Jesus, your mighty and holy name. Hey, let's just declare, let's praise him right now, church. Come on.
Thanks for listening today. If you have questions or would like to speak to someone about taking the next step in your faith journey, we invite you to connect with us at thebreezechurch.com. That's thebreezechurch.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.